Welcome to the first broadcast of Best Threesome Ever. We're going to be talking about all sorts of nerditry and what have you. My name is Kevin.
I'm Rob.
I'm Nick. And there we go. So our first topic for our...
And you can already tell that we're three of the whitest people ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the thing was, you wanted to start this because you kept bitching at me to get on my podcast. Latetothepartypodcast.com, folks. Go ahead.
Cheap plug.
I'll take it.
What was that? Latetothepartypodcast.com?
Yeah, latetothepartypodcast.com. In case you didn't hear me the first time, latetothepartypodcast.com.
Right. So we'll talk about random stuff. Yeah. I think our start topic for today is Hot Chicks and Star Wars.
Hot Chicks and Star Wars.
That's where we're going to go with it, and we're going to Kevin Smith the shit out of this and probably go all over the place and then somehow end up back at
Hot Chicks and Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think that should be the goal of every podcast.
I think so, too, and I think that's actually a good idea, is just sort of... Just start somewhere, and if we end up back at the beginning, that's good.
Right. Then we know we've said our word.
Yeah. But really, it's just all about bullshitting.
Like, pretty much.
So, anyways, Hot Chicks and Star Wars.
Hot Chicks and Star Wars.
That's how we roll.
I feel like there's an echo in the room.
Where do I want to start with Hot Chicks and Star Wars? Both? Hot Chicks in Star Wars, maybe? Perhaps?
Well,
let's start with this one. Who is the hottest chick in Star Wars out of the entire... canon universe.
All I've seen of Rey so far is her wrapped in her little kind of quasi Tusken Raider outfit so far.
Her Princess Padme.
I don't know what she's got going on under there quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I've still got to give it to MILF of the Millennium, Padme Amidala.
I'm still gonna go with Princess Leia.
Yeah, I was gonna say Slave Leia.
Slave Leia.
Which I think she started out very cute in the first movie, but as it progressed, she got, I would say, a little... what's the ugly Demi Moore kid? Scout Rumor? She got a little Scout Willis-y.
Really?
You mean Rumor. Rumor Willis.
Rumor's the one who was on Dancing with the Stars with the amazing ass.
And the one that walks around telling people... Wait, which one's the one that does the Free the Nipple campaign?
That's Scout.
Okay.
It's not like we don't have a computer here to look up shit.
What the fuck is the internet?
If only we had some sort of handheld device that would let us look up shit.
Right. But, I mean, also using the internet for credibility is a silly idea. Let's not do that.
Who likes credibility?
No, Slave Leia. I'm sorry.
The outfit itself was phenomenal. I've seen it worn in so many better... Kristen Bell from Veronica Mars in the movie Fanboys?
Oh, yes.
In the movie Fanboys at the end where she's wearing the Slave Leia outfit. What?
Yes, I would. You're like, num-num.
Alright, awesome.
There's another one? Holy fuck.
But actually,
Talala Willis is the youngest daughter of
Tallulah.
Tallulah is the youngest.
Not that I'm shaming women for their attractiveness, etc.
No, base reference, you know.
But I'm going to retract my answer anyway, and I'm going to go Ayla Secura, final answer.
Really?
Ayla Secura.
Yeah. The blue Twi'lek from... The blue Twi'lek Jedi from episode 2 and 3.
Oh, okay.
I met her in person, Amy Allen. She is not only delightful, very intelligent, but gorgeous.
I met when I was at the C2E2 in Chicago a couple years back, 2011, where I met Ray Parks. Then it was Peter Mayhew's next to him, and then next to him was a girl that played Shakti.
Somebody else
in that movie.
Oh, okay.
And then next to that was a girl that played the young Aunt Beru, and nobody was in line for her. And I felt really bad for her.
Especially because she's adorable.
Yeah. I know, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, there was nobody in line. Like, every time I passed by her, it was just her just sitting at a booth, nobody's in line, and everybody around her's got people. And I'm like, oh, that sucks.
That is depressing.
Oh, speaking of people who are depressing from Star Wars, Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO.
Oh, yeah.
He is the biggest diva I have ever met.
I don't believe that. Actually,
he's the guy, and this was at a Disney employee event that I was at, and so somebody took a picture of him, and he threw a hissy fit.
Really?
Like this gigantic hissy fit. about how you need to get his permission first before you take his picture when we can do it in an official format. I'm like, you are the gay robot from Star Wars. You need to take it down a notch.
At 11, I need to bring you back down to like a 3, please. Wow, did he really throw a fit?
Like J-Lo level.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, what else has he really done besides Star Wars that's even mentionable?
Yep, there you go.
But I mean, if you build your whole career around Star Wars, I mean, why not? Every few years, he's going to be in 3 movies, so why the fuck not?
I mean, yeah. I'm sure the paycheck is good enough that maybe he can throw a little bit of a hissy fit, but he can throw a hissy fit in Nebraska, not fucking Disney World.
How come it's always the people that are like, it's like the, well, I mean, I'm sure the main characters always, you know, get diva-ish like that, yeah. But sometimes it seems like the ones that are more pronounced about it are like the sub-characters or the minor characters. Not to say C-3PO is a minor character.
But he is, like, we don't, when we talk about Star Wars, we don't go immediately to 3PO. We go to Han, Luke, and Leia.
Right.
Which, coincidentally, Harrison Ford, I was surprised they got back for Episode 7, because he is famous for saying, no, I never ever want to go back.
I probably put a lot of zeros behind that 1 or 6 or...
More than likely.
And God, good for him. I mean, why not?
But and that's the thing. But I think he also knew he could demand that because he knew we would be salivating for him to
right.
be there, because I know I'm not the only person who... During the second trailer, which showed him at the end with Chewie, and he's like, we're home. I got a raging erection.
Oh, I was like a little kid. I'm like, I'm going to watch that again. And maybe by again, I mean like 20 times.
Erection, yes. Clapping, yes. I also cried a little.
I cried
a little bit in the first one when all of a sudden they do the... All of a sudden, it's sort of quiet, and it's real serene, and all of a sudden, they just go to black, and then it's something. There's a Millennium Falcon flying through.
Yeah.
And that was like, it's gorgeous. I love it. I'm crying.
Can we talk about our opinions on whether or not J.J. Abrams is going to Into Darkness this thing?
No. In what way?
Well, I mean, as a Star Trek fan, I fucking hated Star Trek Into Darkness.
Really? I liked it better than the first one. I just felt it was, like, more story, less lens flares, thank God.
Less lens flares.
I thought putting Khan in there was shoehorning it in a bit.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind, because...
Right.
Because it's not like they were completely redoing Wrath of Khan. They were more doing the storyline when Khan first came into the mix.
But even then, not really.
There was a lot of fan service, and I don't always mind fan service. Like, take Dark Knight Rises. When Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun turns out to be Robin at the end.
Oh yeah, I did love that.
That was a fan service, and I didn't mind because I was like, so
right.
But I don't mind fan services, and that movie was a bit of a fan service, but I thought it was enjoyable. And my dad, who is a diehard Trekkie, he's the one who got me into Star Trek as a young lad.
Right.
And he swears by the original series, loves the Next Generation. We took him to both of these movies, and he said, "Those are really good. I'm proud of watching those." Mm. And I will take his opinion over most any naysaying young nerd these days. And maybe that's just itching for a fight, but that's just me.
I'll let you have that only because the movies were about Kirk and Spock, and my favorite Star Trek is still Picard and Data and Riker and Worf.
God, do I love me some Riker.
Right.
Well, who doesn't? But I mean, and I just felt like they were just, at the end, they were just stretching so thin. It's like they were just straight, and not to say I didn't enjoy the movies. I enjoyed the movies, and I enjoyed the series. I mean, I was a...
Are you talking about towards the end of the series
Are we talking about the series, or are we talking about fucking Nemesis?
I'm talking about, like, the movies. I felt with the movies, they were stretching. The end of the series, I think, ended wonderfully with fucking,
you know... Oh, this is the new Data Android. His name is B4. His name is Fuck You!
Tell us how you really feel about that. His name is Fuck You!
No. Actually, I will use Nemesis as to jump on my Gene Roddenberry hating platform again.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I fucking no. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The first season, Star Trek: Next Generation, is the worst piece of Star Trek filmed ever, because Roddenberry had way too much input, way too much say, and then when they got rid of him for the next season, miraculously it got better. And anytime like there's a touch of something that you can look at and be like, oh, Gene Roddenberry would have done that, I immediately shut down during the episode, or in Nemesis' case, the movie.
Gene Roddenberry like died halfway through the Next Generation series, didn't he?
Yeah, he died shortly before the end of the series. And he had given his okay on Deep Space Nine,
right?
Which is surprising as hell, because right. That series took such a left turn,
right? Because his wife took over, I think, mostly, yeah. Who was in the movie or the shows, and she was the voice.
Well, yeah, she was the voice of the computer.
But then you realize that throughout the movies, they killed everything that was Roddenberry's. They killed the they changed the uniforms. They destroyed the Enterprise. His designs, all his designs, they completely and utterly got rid of.
Good.
They got rid of. They changed the symbol, the
fucking good
symbol.
Fucking. I don't want anything about Roddenberry. Oh God.
You're so angry. You can't even words.
He's so mad about this. He broke himself.
Pretty much.
And he tried to turn it off and on again.
I don't know. Bring your hand over here.
Okay, I'm glad they got away from the onesie fucking uniform.
Yeah.
They went to the jacket and then the pants style, and then I fucking loved
Picard's smoking jacket that
yes.
he wore in the last couple seasons.
Love that. Ooh. I didn't like the DS9 uniforms. I hated those with the purple underneath.
The purple on top with the red underneath.
Yeah.
No.
I thought there was like a purple neck thing. And
no,
because they use it in a couple of the movies, too.
In the movies, yeah. The officer color is the undershirt, and the main uniform
is just
all
black with kind of a lavender.
Lavendery purple thing on the shoulders.
Yeah. I'm going to prove you wrong.
No, I'm sure I'm not wrong. But no, Roddenberry's egalitarian, utopian-style concept for the world of Star Trek was fine for the 60s, and maybe a little bit into the movies. But then he went and was allowed to push that too far when they released Star Trek the Motion Picture, or as I call,
VJ. It's kind of gray, but...
Oh, yeah. No, those were the updated ones. Those ones I like.
Okay.
No, the very first season of Deep Space Nine. Those ones I like, with the gray and then the color underneath. I love those.
Are you talking about where it's all black and then the colored shoulders?
Yes.
And then the gray underneath that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
That one.
Yeah, O'Brien.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, those
okay.
ones. I didn't like
that.
What you folks can't see right now is me showing pictures of examples of what we're just talking about.
Right. Good thing for hand-up
This episode
devices.
Brought to you by Burmishave.
this episode fueled by Taco John's and alcohol.
Yeah,
I think all of our episodes are going to be fueled by alcohol.
Yeah, no, anything that was related to Gene Roddenberry in the series or the movies, I fucking hated. Which is why the B4 shit and the Picard clone ideas, they just screamed Roddenberry to me. And
however, I did enjoy that there was a movie where Baby Kirk and Baby Picard were fighting over Reese Witherspoon. That spy movie starring Tom Hardy and Chris Pine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I went with that movie. I was like, it's Kirk and Picard trying to fight over Reese Witherspoon.
I always forget that that's Tom Hardy playing
Baby Picard.
Baby Picard.
And then he's also in Band of Brothers. He is Private Janowitz in Private Ryan. He's the guy that... You see him naked. Well, most memorably, you see him.
Is this Band of Brothers?
Band of Brothers. Okay. He's banging that blonde chick, and then Captain, what's his name, walks in. Like when they're in Germany already.
Oh, okay.
And he's banging that blonde chick, and when they're in Germany, and then he stands up and salutes, and he's butt naked, and that's
the part that stands out most to you. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's the most like notable time that you see him, or else you see him when they're. They jump into the back of the truck. When I first realized it was Tom Hardy, they jump on the back of the truck, and he's like, "What are you weaving, Janowitz?" He's like, "About the Nazis." "Well, what are you reading about the Nazis?" "Nazis are bad." "Oh, the Nazis are bad." And that's Tom Hardy. I'm sorry. It's like the first time you see
He had a stellar early career.
He did. Well, Ryan Phillippe's first movie was Crimson Tide. Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington. He was
Batman.
All right, I'm done on my tangent now.
Yeah. But no, what was Star Trek... Okay, yeah, no, J.J. Abrams is going to Into Darkness.
Whether he's
going to
Into Darkness. Wow.
So
off the cuff tangent number one, folks, in the books.
Drink.
No.
And we're only 16 minutes into it. All right.
No, yeah.
I don't think so.
I think
he's been. I think he's just judging from the Star Trek movies. I think he's been wanting to do a Star Wars movie for a long time.
I think.
You take the similarities between the first rebooted Star Trek movie and Star Wars, and there's a lot of them, even from the big ship versus the little ship.
Let's just say, show your work.
The capturing of the captain, which you know, he came off very, very Vader versus Leia, even though it wasn't Leia. It was a bald Indian man.
Oh yeah, in the like first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
Also, can we just mention the fact that
Thor was a captain of the ship?
I was gonna say Thor. Thor fathered Captain Kirk. This is important.
Hmm.
Yes.
Should make a game of this. Thor.
And his mother was that annoying blonde bitch from Once Upon a Time.
Was.
Yes.
And Spock's mother was
Winona Ryder.
I hope that was makeup to make her look old. I'm not gonna lie, I had a thing for Winona Ryder.
I did.
You're not alone.
Thirded.
Right, yeah. Beetlejuice and then like Girl Interrupted.
I never saw Girl Interrupted.
Very good movie. Mm. Not a decent movie. It's about crazy chicks, so
right.
They're in an insane asylum. There's some good moments.
Angelina Jolie.
Doesn't she get naked in that?
Does who get naked? Be more specific.
Clearly Whoopi Goldberg. I want to know if Whoopi Goldberg gets naked.
Fortunately, no. Kevin is currently looking at his phone.
I'm terrified of what I'm going to Google, but now I have to Google it.
We be without Google.
I'm so proud of Goldberg naked.
But to answer your question,
cannot load search results.
To answer your question,
even your phone is terrible.
Even my phone is like, bruh,
really,
bruh.
You don't think you want that. You're entering territories you don't want to be entering. You are boldly going where no one has gone before.
You're telling me that Picard didn't fold that?
Oh, God, yeah, he did.
Picard was totally sticking it to Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg did not get naked in Girl Interrupted. Winona Ryder did not either, although she was, like, tossed into a tub by Whoopi Goldberg, and she was wearing just, like, a white shirt thing, so there's some nippleage. You can kind of see through the shirt.
Okay. Did Angelina Jolie, though? That was the important question.
No.
I know she gets naked in Hackers.
Briefly, ever so briefly.
If you really want to see her get naked, watch the movie Gia.
Or
she's like naked in that movie all the time and makes out with another chick, so.
Okay. Or Foxfire or Bone Collector. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to see Angelina Jolie naked, but if I happen to have it happen to me, I'm okay with it.
Who hasn't seen Angelina Jolie naked? It's,
I mean,
I'm kind of over the whole Angelina Jolie thing.
Yeah.
Like, she was hot, and then I'm like, meh, I'm over it.
Okay. That's fine. With J.J. Abrams and Star Wars, I don't know.
I'm
so worried because I'm both a Star Trek and a Star Wars fan. I have no loyalty to one over the other.
But same, and I hate when people feel like you have to.
Right, and I'm the same way. Although I'm a little bit more of a Star Wars fan than I am Star Trek.
And I'm a little bit more of a Star Trek fan than I am a Star Wars fan.
I think I'm a little more Wars than Trek.
Yeah.
But my theory is I think that J.J. Abrams knows what he has on his shoulders, and if any director were to do it, I think...
God damn it.
Did you find Whoopi Goldberg naked?
Well, at least a little bit of boob.
Well, at least it was a young Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah. All
right. Now that that's
it's
in my
not,
mind.
It's not, yeah. Whoopi's tit didn't fall out on the view or anything.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Like,
you're welcome.
Why doesn't she have eyebrows?
I don't know.
She shaves them off? I don't know.
So back to my thought. I think if it was any other director than J.J. Abrams, they'd be like, fuck you all, I'm going to do what I want with the Star Wars movie. But I think J.J. Abrams respects the fans and the culture of Star Wars enough to be like, okay, I don't really want to fuck this up, so I want to do the best job that I can, but still make it my own film, but still give the fans what they're looking for.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that he's bringing everything back to, like, live sets, and, like, I just felt
I love the fact that he's using...
way too CGI.
Yeah, he's using practical effects and mechanical stuff versus going to a computer and placing aliens in the scene like Lucas did for the first three.
Right.
Or for the prequel trilogy, I should say.
Right.
And then he went back and did it for the first three, too, but whatever.
You're...
I'm referring to the remastered edition, the special editions of
some of those. I'm okay with most of them. I'm not. It's like, just leave well enough alone.
I'm okay with there being a bigger boom when Alderaan blows up and when the Death Star blows up. Well, otherwise, okay, I don't care.
Although, to me, it just felt like it was the same boom, just turned sideways. Yeah. Like, he rotated at 180, and now the Death Star and the ring is just now this way. And why is there only one ring and not...
Like, one ring why is rule them all.
Like, the big... Like, what in Generations when the planet blows up and you can see the three-dimensional ring coming away from the planet that they're trying to escape.
Right. Sorry, I was thinking about slapping Kevin.
With Alderaan, it doesn't make sense what the Death Star does.
Right.
Because of how it's built with that stupid trench. You can tell everything was compacted there. Yep. So really, that one ring is just the expulsion from the weak point of what would be the Death Star.
I do have a
science, folks!
I do have a feeling in the new Star Wars movie...
With Alderaan, it makes no fucking sense.
There is going to be a trench fight again. Another aerial trench fight battle, because I think they're on, according to what I can see from the poster, a big... Bigger than the Star Death Star, but it's at it's like a death killing or a planet killing
death killing machine.
It's a death killing killing thing killing
does,
machine killing
I think
thing.
It's a thing that
thing
does
that
things.
Kills
kill,
things.
Kill you guys. Nice.
Yeah. Fuck off. But like when they're on like the snow and stuff, I think they're actually on that death.
You mean Hoth 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
Well, the movie starts on Tatooine 2.
Yeah. Or
Electric Boogaloo.
Something different, which apparently is in the new Battlefront game. That the battle,
Jakku?
Yeah, okay. The battle that where you find like in the third preview where you can see the Star Destroyer in the sand.
All I want is an S at the end.
I played
that
one in the beta. It's
pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Cool. All I want is an S at the end of Jakku, so I can just walk around and tell people they're on the planet Jakku's. Yeah, I don't care. I'm proud of me. I'm proud of me.
I don't know how to feel about that. I just hope Battlefront. I know it's on PlayStation 4. I don't have a 4. I only have a 3. I know I'm behind the times. I'm old school. Fuck off.
PS3 is old school.
Right?
Oh,
but
shit.
I hope Battlefront comes to PS3. If it's
I have right. an N64. What does that make me?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Nostalgic.
That would be awesome.
Damn right.
I think that falls in the nostalgic realm.
Yep.
N64 is where Nintendo freaking peaked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a...
Because like, what was after that, GameCube?
The GameCube, which was...
Yeah. Oh, right.
And the Wii was...
Yeah. The Wii is enjoyable.
I didn't... Not that I ever had one, but one of my friends had theirs, and we were over at their house playing their Wii. It was just... I was like, eh.
And the,
I had to get up and do shit.
I just feel like it's a poor choice for a name.
And I feel like the Nintendo Siren is not utilizing its technology by making a Pokemon Snap game. Made for Pokemon Snap.
Which, what is this?
The Nintendo Siren.
What is the
Wii
Nintendo
U.
Siren? Oh, Wii. Oh. God damn it.
What?
Thank you for setting that up for me.
You're welcome.
All that for one joke.
Yes.
Other than that, that conversation probably could have gone on for another 5 minutes before we got to the punchline.
And I would have kept trying to steer it there, too.
Set me up, you son of a bitch! What is wrong with our comedy delivery? Set me up better, you fucker.
But no,
it's premature.
Yet again,
stillborn?
back to the point. I don't think he's gonna like I had said. I think he has too much respect for what it is.
You said that, or I said that.
We both did.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing. You say that, and then I go back and look at interviews from Star Trek where he says, "Well, I didn't watch the movies, but I have a great respect for them."
No.
And then he fucked them hard.
I don't think.
Natalie Portman never watched a single Star Wars movie, and she was a fucking mother of Anakin Skywalker, or not Anakin, fucking...
Luke and Leia.
Luke and Leia, thank you. Had a brain fart there.
I want to point out that you just used the prequel trilogy to defend the new movie.
I did, because Natalie Portman did not see any of the Star Wars movies prior to filming her role.
Okay.
She didn't know much anything about Star Wars, and here she is playing...
That explains a lot, to be fair.
Well, yeah, it does. It's also kind of, you know, mannequin Skywalker's acting. Shitty fucking skills. I thought he was a poor choice. They could have gone with somebody
they
way
could
better.
Have gone with so many choices for that. But that's, I mean, that's not... Who cares anymore, because it's old, and we get a new one, and I am excited for it. I'm still cautiously optimistic until I go into the theater and watch it. And
you know,
then
I was I was cautiously optimistic for a long time. I've actually finally passed that, and I am.
I'm excited
truly
to see
excited.
It. I'm excited to see it because one, it's another.
One could say giddy.
I'm excited because it's another Star Wars movie, so of course I'm excited about seeing a Star Wars movie. And just the, you know, the front, the main scroll at the beginning and the music.
The second that Star Wars appears right in there, and they're
like, yeah, the 20th century.
I'm going to scream like a 12-year-old girl.
It happened when the prequel, even the prequels came out. I remember sitting in the theater at midnight and that comes on. And the other big thing was when Yoda kicked Dooku's ass and everyone was like, everybody lost their shit.
When he pulled out his lightsaber for the first time, we gave him a standing ovation.
Our theater, when I was in the theater, the theater just lost their shit. It was like a rock concert all of a sudden.
Yoda first pulls out his lightsaber for the first time.
Yeah, he comes walking around the corner, everybody's like, and then
sitting about two seats down from this guy who I didn't know, but I remember him to this day because during episode 2, every time Jar Jar Binks said anything, he would just go, shut up. Shut up.
So angry.
That's amazing.
And it was beautiful. I couldn't even get mad at him. I'm like, yeah, you tell him.
Was this during episode 1 or 2? Yes. 2. Okay. Oh, that's disappointing.
So we had enough time to get mad at him.
Yeah, but I mean,
dumbass.
At episode 2, he's just an angry guy, angry about a character that fucked up the first movie. If he had done it during episode 1,
he's
clairvoyant.
I can't tell you whether or not he did it during the first one, because obviously I was not there.
You weren't there.
So as far as I know, maybe he was.
Maybe, but.
Well, and they also took Jar Jar out of a major role starting in the second one and kind of like, we're just going to throw him in the Senate.
Have you guys seen the fan theory, by the way?
And made him responsible for all the evil that had transpired. Oh, well, the fan theory the where fan he's actually theory a Sith where, apprentice.
Yeah, no, not a Sith apprentice. The Sith Lord. the big bad behind Palpatine.
No, because he couldn't because there's only two, and so...
Well, okay, the theory provides some pretty decent evidence, actually. Like, good things happen for him, in the scene, you can see him waving his hands around, as if to do a Jedi mind trick. Like, right before he becomes the bombad general.
That's a bunch of old guy nerds sitting in their mom's basement going, we gotta look at this real closely here.
Well, there's also the thought that Jar Jar isn't clumsy. Instead, he's just a practicer of drunken monkey kung fu.
Shut the fuck up.
He's him and Jackie Chan are the drunken masters.
Yeah, drunken master kung fu, yeah.
It's a good movie, actually.
Yeah.
There's also the original one, which I didn't like as much, but the one with Jackie Chan is way better.
No, I'm sorry. I think that's a spectacular theory, though.
I don't know.
It makes me like Jar Jar a little bit more. He's still racist as fuck.
Oh my god, he's the racistest.
Oh good, we make up words on this podcast.
That's a new superlative. Leave him alone. That's right, I used a big word, kids. Superlative.
Your mom's superlative.
No. What can I say?
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see it. I know when we go see it, even though it'll be like the 20th showing of that day, because we're going on, 11? I still think it's going to be packed, but...
I was going to go with both of these guys, but I get to see the movie 2 days before it opens because my girlfriend works at a movie theater. So I'm going to see it 2 days before you... And this is where what I was thinking about a little bit ago. I'm going to be so excited and just stupidly giddy with trollish joy if they don't open the movie with that yellow text scrawl.
No, there's no way they have to. And you can't use that stupid, shitty-ass Clone Wars as an example.
No, it didn't.
Because I remember going to see that in theater opening night.
And the animated movie?
Yeah, and it started with that... or whatever it was. And everyone was like, what the fuck is this shit?
I think you already knew where they were because they dropped you right into that battle, the space battle, so it wasn't like they really needed to say much. I mean, you knew that they were in the Clone Wars, whereas this one I think they have to because...
No, it started with some... It didn't start in the middle of a battle. It started in some bullshit, like, 1940s style, like, newscast, didn't it?
What? No. Clone Wars, the animated movie?
Yeah.
Oh, the animated movie.
I'm not talking about Attack of the Stupid Name. I'm talking about the Clone Wars animated movie.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I don't remember that one. Very
Clone
much.
Wars I never started saw it. The way all the other ones did.
Right, yeah.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones, yeah.
started the same way. No, I'm talking about the Clone Wars. The
animated, it did start with the news thing, yes.
With
it did.
Ahsoka and yes. That bullshit.
Right.
Which I often, like, when the first time I saw it, I'm not gonna lie, I saw it, I'm like, where does this fit into the goddamn movies?
Yeah.
Because it actually happens between
2 and 3.
Yeah, and the thing is...
and it came out after 3, so you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and they tried to civilize... They tried to justify Anakin's fall. Or at least apologize for it. It was straight up just like an apology about Andrew Jackson. Like, he killed the children in episode 3, but in the Clone Wars... He's the mentor to this young alien girl. I don't know. I get it. Oh, the analogy for Andrew Jackson. A lot of people consider Andrew Jackson one of the best presidents that the United States has ever had. So many people, however, forget that he's responsible for starting the Native American genocide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's because people don't want to listen to history. Because why would white people ever screw it up?
Right? We don't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't, yeah. But now, I think, with the new one, they have to start with something because of the whole new, when, you know, George Lucas left, and he's like, the last thing I'm going to do is say that everything that was, all the books are now null and void. The only thing that's in canon is the movies and the TV shows.
And these specific extra things.
Right.
Everything else
and
is
this,
just...
And
so now it's like nobody knows where the fuck they're going or where it's
This is why I'm cautiously optimistic, though. Because I think they could have, you know, gone to several of the authors of the expanded universe and gone, okay, we're going to wipe away everything here, but you're going to write a specific book. And you're going to use the characters you made in this book. Like, if they... None of the authors that are writing books now for are any of the big names from Star Wars. They're all sort of up-and-coming
Right,
authors.
But they had to get... They had to write the book, and then George Lucas personally had to approve it. Anything that was in Star Wars or has Star Wars' name...
Yeah.
George Lucas approved everything.
In the books, expanded universe?
Everything, yeah. Yes. Books, everything.
I'm just sad that Shadows of the Empire isn't canon anymore.
I know!
I love Shadows of the Empire.
Who didn't?
Amazing book... Possibly the best Star Wars game where you're not a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which also brings me to the point that I am mortified that 1313 got canned.
1313?
Level 1313, it was the new Star Wars game where you play as a couple of smugglers going to this, secret wing of a Star Destroyer.
Oh, really?
Oh, and it looked beautiful. You should Google some of the trailers and,
okay.
Like
there's gameplay
footage from 1313. It's beautiful. Very.
Yeah, it's just called 1313. Like
Star Wars 1313.
Interesting.
And it got scrapped when the LucasArts
brand
got scrapped. Well, it didn't go under. It just got scrapped. They're just like, hey,
right.
I don't want this.
Right. Also, as far as video games go, there's only been like a couple of the Star Wars games that I've really liked.
There's only been a couple that have been truly good. Of course, Jedi Outcast.
Yeah.
One of the top of the list.
Okay.
The Dark Forces games I always liked. Battlefront games were, of course, good.
Rogue Squadron, anyone?
Rogue Squadron.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Wait, the original one that was on,
N64?
N64? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
the Pod Race game.
It was all right.
It was all right.
I loved.
I liked the Pod Race game that was actually in the arcade a lot better, and not just because you got to sit in the fucking thing, but it
really,
was just,
that was exactly the reason.
Well, the exact reason, but... You're like, fuck this, bitches!
Way to Farley that out.
That's what I do.
Kevin was,
Yeah, don't worry about it. They don't care.
Nobody cares what Kevin was doing. Yeah, the Pod Race one was okay. Rogue Squadron was fun.
I don't know.
We're not going to talk about Force Unleashed. At least
why not?
At least
the first one was good. The second one was such bullshit. The
second one was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I haven't played either, so I'm sorry.
You really should.
Oh, shit. You mean just the first one, though, not the second
one.
Yeah, okay.
I had a point there a second ago, but I forgot what it was. We were talking about video games and then something else.
Anyways.
Star Wars.
Boobs?
Boobs?
Boobs.
God, how great are boobs?
Wonderful. I can put my face and I'm just blah, blah, blah.
We are agreed. Boobs.
Boobs.
Motion passes. I'm really happy that that's on there now, too.
What, that we said boobs?
Motion? No, my dropping my glass
there.
Oh,
yeah,
there,
it's on
just, there. Boom.
It's on there.
Good. Motion carries. Boops.
I think you picked. I think you peaked the microphone.
I know I did.
Ooh.
I know. I've peaked this microphone several times, sir. This is not a new game for me.
There's that line, Rob, and there's Rob crossing.
Just gotta go that one step too far.
One.
One? Really? Just one?
Well,
I mean,
we're trying to be nice. We're your friend, you know.
Really? Friends? Really?
We tolerate you? I don't know.
No, that's fair. I get that. That makes sense.
We put up with you. We'll let you hang out with us in public.
I mean, I accept that. That's fine. I love you guys.
Love you guys.
There we go.
There's that line. There's that line.
There it is.
There it is. Touching the boobs.
All right. So, miscellaneous theories we have.
Okay.
About Star Wars?
Yes.
Star
Wars. About what is...
About the
what
new...
Is, about what is coming. So, we've already... We talked briefly before the podcast about the possibility of it being Rey crying over the body of Chewbacca in the trailer.
Yep.
But you think he's...
I think
he's
it's
going,
Han Solo.
You think he's going full Abrams and it's actually Solo.
Yep.
I want to preface this by saying that I think we should make these predictions and that our next podcast shouldn't be until after the...
The movie?
The movie. And then so then we can go do our predictions come true.
You want that. Here's my other thing. With Leia crying on Han's shoulder, they're old. She's been fighting in a war for 30 fucking years.
She probably missed his old ass.
Yeah, probably. She probably did miss.
But they probably were.
Han.
They're fighting the war together. Why would they not be fighting together? Why would they be separate?
How do you know they're fighting the war together? She's a general now, and we
and
have
he's
no
an
evidence
admiral.
That he is.
And he's Captain Solo.
Well, he's a captain. Captain. Well, he was admiral.
He was general. No, he was a general.
General in
General
Return
Solo.
Of the Jedi. Yeah. General
Although he
Solo.
Flies a ship, while he wasn't technically flying.
Now there are a couple of. There are more theories now. That's.
But hang on, I just want to finish with the Han theory.
Your
real quick
Han theory.
Your mom's a Han theory. Moving on. Because I will show my work, because I think J.J. Abrams is a big fan of the fucking M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong plot twist. And, yeah, I don't care if that's a little racist, I'm fine with it. Also, Harrison Ford wanted Lucas to kill Han in Empire. Harrison Ford wanted him to kill off Han in Empire Strikes Back.
They did that because they weren't sure if they could get him for Jedi. And so they were like, well, this way we can either keep him in the Carbonite if he doesn't return for Jedi. Because Harrison Ford wasn't... He was the only character that wasn't signed up for three movies.
Right.
He was a movie-by-movie bassist. And so in Empire, they put him in the Carbonite and they say, well, if he doesn't come back for Jedi, we'll keep him in the goddamn Carbonite. But if he does come back, we'll find out some way to fucking get him out of there.
Well, yeah, but the only reason he didn't sign when he signed for Empire, the only reason he didn't sign for Jedi right then and there was because everyone else signed a two-movie deal, but he didn't. And the reason was because he didn't get in his contract saying that they were going to kill Han because he wanted that. He has come out in interviews saying he wanted to kill off Han and has since come out saying, I'm actually pretty glad they didn't. But I think Harrison Ford got J.J. Abrams to slip into his new contract that Han dies. I think.
But they all signed three movie deals.
No.
Harrison Ford didn't.
Didn't.
Didn't?
He did not.
I was told that.
Now, here's the rub. Do you think that if they had decided that Han was going to stay dead, do you think they would have kept with the arc that Leia was Luke's sister?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Well,
they would have got freaky and banged.
No, I think they probably would have. I think they would have. Because my understanding is that the first three movies were always there. Like, he had, like, Lucas had an idea. He didn't have them all, like, totally written out. But he had an idea that this was what it was, and he didn't want to make the movies because he wanted...
But how often do ideas change?
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
I
think they would have.
In A New Hope versus Empire, like, there is no... Any sort of reference to Vader being Luke's father, because it was never written that way in the first movie. There was no plan for him to be Luke's father.
I think they wrote it because they didn't know how big it was going to be. Like, they were like, this could be a, this probably is not going to make a lot of money, but we're just doing.
Well, yeah, it was an independent film, so they hedged their bets. Sure, but then they ignored any sort of reference to Vader being Luke's father.
Well, why would they
like, want to
give,
even
why would,
a even a
why would you want to blow your load in the first movie?
Yeah, why would you? But there's
because
no,
it was
not
a
even...
great. It was the best part in Empire ever when
yeah.
he revealed
oh, yeah.
that when he revealed that he was his father. I mean, that was like the a fucking twist of all twists. At, you know, I feel that that's they didn't want to blow their load. You know, they wanted to sexy up a little bit. They wanted to do a little foreplay.
Sure.
I still don't, I'm going to go. So are we still in the death thing?
So no, the other theory of yeah, no. I mean, I think it's Han Solo. I really do think it's Han Solo.
So two Chewie, one Han. What about the theory that Rey is actually a daughter of Han and Leia? There's that theory. There's that fan theory.
Yeah, I love the theory that Finn is the child of Han.
Because he's a slut and he likes to sleep
around. Yeah, because he gets the punani wherever he feels like
and
it.
And that makes me wonder who the mother is, because I don't think I've ever seen a black female in the entirety of Star Wars.
No.
We've only ever seen two females in the entirety of Star Wars.
You see more
than human. There's the general lady in Jedi, and then Mon Mothma. Thank you.
And there's Leia.
She was so unimportant in that movie that I don't remember her name, and that's too bad. And then Leia.
I guess you're right. Guess
and that's not. Who
but
there
a lot
is.
Of, but
in the
see,
first...
there's a lot of females on the like the out like in the books and the comics.
I just assumed that it would be Lando's sister.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nice. He has a sister, but I just kind of assumed that they had that kind of friendship.
If they did.
Also, there's another.
Or maybe it's Han and Lando. I like those two together.
That'd be the best child ever.
They'd make adorable children, Han and Lando. Yes,
they would. A smooth talking.
Oh, they would be
smooth shooting.
Just smooth as silk.
Cold 45 drinking.
Fuck! I want to watch that movie now.
I want to watch the movie where they make the kid first, though.
Oh, but like
right.
But Finn is not, he's clumsy and he falls over and
right.
If you've seen, I think it was trailer number 3, where he's about to fight Kylo Ren in a lightsaber fight and he looks like he's about to shit himself.
Oh, God, yes.
You just see him like right before he's about to go,
yeah. What do I do?
Like he's whipping around like a little foam pool noodle.
Like he's just a
three-bladed lightsaber, well, nobody can defeat the wind.
Like you were physically just demonstrating the windmill. I love it when you have to physically demonstrate it. But he only has
one lightsaber. Our antics clearly work out for podcasting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, okay, good.
Damn it, all my antics are physical, guys.
But it would only be a one-sided windmill because he only has one lightsaber.
The other one's doing, like, force pushes.
Oh, that is. Well, he's got to be like, clumsy because, you know, Luke was clumsy and whiny in the first movie and then he became this badass Jedi. And
by three.
Well, but they have three movies, 7, 8, 9. So,
yeah.
So Finn is going to become a better and badder Jedi.
Because
he's supposed to, like, that's the Force Awakens. Like, I understand of the story is that, like, Finn and Rey have grown up and they've just heard these theories of Jedis and the Force and all that stuff. And that's that one scene where Luke or Han is standing saying,
he's like, it's all real.
It's all real. It's all true. Everything you've heard is fucking true. I was there. I saw it. I didn't believe it at all at first, but now I fucking believe it.
At this point, it's been what, 30 years?
Is 30 that? Years.
30, 30 years.
Where there's now one Jedi left and he's gone into exile. So mm-hmm. nobody even, what's a Jedi? What is it?
Which brings us to the other theory. Luke not showing up in the trailers means he's...
Except for once.
Except for...
I want to believe
it's a metallic hand that's touching R2.
I understand that, but the clothes he's wearing is not very Jedi-esque.
Neither was the clothes he was wearing in fucking...
Return of the Jedi. That's true.
He was wearing all black.
That's true, I was about to make a book reference when he was wearing more traditional Jedi garb, but I can't because it's not in canon anymore.
And
you're right.
I'm sorry.
At that point, there was no traditional garb in the original trilogy. They decided to make an old man's trying to stay cool on a desert planet outfit.
Well, I'm with you.
The traditional clothing of a Jedi. Before that, we just figured that's what he wore on Tatooine
to stay cool.
Right. You know, I'm with you.
So there was no reason that all Jedi should wear, you know, the desert robes every fucking wear.
Well, yeah. Right, but I think George Lucas had an idea that he might want to say that that's kind of what the Jedi, because he very big into the Japanese culture, and obviously all the Jedi uniforms, very Japanese-esque, very gi, very martial arty type.
Vader's helmet, very samurai.
Yep. And I agree with you that I think they were just like, well, this is what it is. And he just said, well, I kind of want it to look like this. You know, like, this is kind of my idea. But you're right, I don't think he fully functioned that idea until, you know,
right.
Empire or Jedi.
And by that point,
you know, by the time it was time to do these prequel movies and it was time to show the Jedi more of them, we had already had this vision. It had been locked into our minds that a Jedi looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. Yep.
So the fact that episode 1, 2, and 3 have the Jedis in the robes
is because that's what we think.
And it makes sense.
Right. And it makes sense, and it's a badass look, and why the fuck not? And...
So anyways, the thought is that Luke Skywalker not being in the trailers, except for supposedly once...
But where the fuck is he, though?
It's him. It's him talking about himself when it showed everybody else he was talking about. It showed Vader's helmet. My sister had it. It shows Leia being handed a lightsaber by some fucking kid.
Which has been proven by audio experts as archive footage from 3.
But it's...
It's still him talking
about... It's him talking about maybe himself, maybe someone else. Who knows?
And I have it.
But I think... Yeah. And it shows... I see what he's... I see where Kevin's going
with this. It shows a black cloaked figure putting a metallic robo hand on R2-D2. And there's only two fucking people R2-D2 is going to hang out with. That's Luke the fuck Skywalker and C the fuck 3PO.
I was really hoping that if I argued this long enough... I was really hoping if I argued this long enough, Kevin would have a bit of a nerd rage moment. And he did, and I was not disappointed. Thank you. So, all right. Luke is missing from the trailers except for the one moment.
Unless he's Kylo Ren. Which I hope not.
I don't know. Kylo Ren's a whole... No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think
there's a better explanation.
But I think there's... But just real quick, I think Kylo Ren is not... There's no way he is because there's already so much...
Behind the Knights of Ren.
And he's following... Because he's not an actual Darth...
He's not a Jedi. He's not a Sith. He was never trained by a Sith.
Right. No. He just admires what Darth Vader was all about and like the whole thing about him, and so he creates this stuff. And he might have some Force powers. I think he probably does. Because
it looks like in the trailer where like there's this thing by the guy's face and he starts screaming. I think he's about to Force crush a dude's skull.
Right.
Which
it's a fuck. It's the new fucking like I'm not choking you anymore with my two little fucking fingers. It's
just
I'm
crushing your head.
I'm crushing your head with my Force.
I want it.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is that he's not very skilled, so there's no way it could be.
But the theory is that Kylo Ren is Luke, and Luke has gone completely to the dark side. That's not what I think it is, though. I think the reason for Luke's absence is very simple. J.J. Abrams wanted to get every single member of the cast back for the first movie of this updated series, and Luke will show up for a quick cameo and disappear. And then in episode 8, we're going to see him on Dagobah 2, because Luke is now Yoda 2.
Dagobah 2? You mean a planet that looks like Dagobah, not Dagobah? I'm going to go with the same theory I went with the first Star Wars movie. They don't want to blow your load and show everybody everything in the movie in the previews, and he's just going, we're saving Luke because it's going to be fucking badass when you see him.
But I don't think he's going to be that big in the movie.
I don't think he is either. I'm picturing the last maybe 20 minutes.
This is the fact that he's in the movie but not on the poster is huge.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's going to be the last part of the movie, maybe the last third of the movie where maybe Ren is like Luke obviously feels that there's a Force, the Force is coming alive and he can sense it because he's very powerful. He's the only Jedi, right? So he's got to be able to know that there's something in the Force going on. And I think he's seeking out Ren and or Finn or both of them. I don't know which one is going to be the more Forcey one. Obviously, Finn from the preview, but I think Ren...
Clearly, since Finn is male, he'll be the Forcier.
Now, Rey... You keep saying Ren. It's Rey.
Oh, Rey. Sorry.
Now, they've never shown her being very Jedi-ish.
No.
With her staff, but these toy commercials... have been showing basically this little boy and little girl playing Star Wars together, and they show a little girl dressed in Rey's kind of outfit, and she starts force pushing stormtroopers around, and I kind of think that it's possible that these toy commercials have totally given a small spoiler that Rey is.
But I think that's part of it is that she's force sensitive and Finn's force sensitive, and by happenstance, Finn ends up on Tatooine 2, as we like to call it now.
Jakku's.
But by that weird...
See? But it grows
that,
on you.
But by that...
Yeah, it does.
But by that weird, like...
Like herpes.
You know, turn of events that they find each other and now they're both discovering the Force together.
Very
and,
much like Luke and Leia.
Yes, but they're, these two aren't related and they can bang all they want.
Or so maybe.
Without being weird.
Or maybe.
Or maybe they're both Han's kids.
I still... I love that meme.
That meme that... Some people say that...
Rey is the daughter of Luke. Some say she's the daughter of Leia. I say
why not both?
Something that happens on Facebook that I'm
No. The internet is a wonderful place for terrible people.
That's true. there's another theory I wanted to go on too. We discussed the Rey maybe being somebody's son, daughter, whatever.
I think she'll be Luke's daughter, actually.
Possibly. Maybe.
Because
think it's like a Jada, you think like they
Mara Jane bringing.
Yeah.
Sure, Mara Jane. I think it's certainly possible. I think it's because Luke didn't live with that classic Jedi code, because he didn't learn that from Obi-Wan or Yoda, the celibacy thing. So I think he goes and knocks up some unnamed lady on a planet.
I don't think they're going to do Mara Jade, because I think that would be pointless, not showing Mara Jade in a prime.
Yeah.
Unless they were going to save all that for a spin-off movie, like that spy movie they're trying to do.
The Rogue... Well, they're doing Rogue One? Rogue One, or whatever it's called.
Rogue One.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Rogue One.
Is that a movie or is that a series?
I didn't think it was called Rogue One.
I'll find it.
But it's about the people who steal the planets from the Death Star.
Right.
It's basically a Star Wars like spy movie.
Or they just mention her and maybe show in her flashback, like, she's already dead. You know, Mara Jade's already dead. And
it could be.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel that, like, going back to the Luke thing, that I think Luke is going to be a last minute, like, he finally finds them in some circumstance of whatever, like, he finds Rey, and now that will be the premise for the next couple movies.
Okay, so the movie is called Rogue One. Principal photography started in August, and let me tell you the cast list for this. Oh my god. Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Riz Ahmed, Ben Mendelsohn, Donnie Yen, Jiang Wen, Forrest Whitaker, Forrest Whitaker, Mads Mikkelsen, and Alan Tudyk.
Ah, you had me, Alan Tudyk.
I did.
Okay.
I know.
Now I gotta look at these names because
I recognize three of them.
Yeah, there were four of them that I knew.
Is it Rogue One?
I'd have to see faces. Yeah, Rogue One.
Yeah, it's Rogue One. By the way, Rogue One.
So dark and broody looking.
That's Rouge One, sir. You spelled Rouge One.
Star Wars Wrath of the Mandalorian.
What? Is that the name of it?
What? What is this?
Oh,
what are we looking at?
Oh my god.
Boba Fett's back, baby.
Oh,
yeah, no. They said that they're going to do a Boba Fett movie and a Han Solo movie.
Oh, by the way, what you should do if you have not done it yet, in the third trailer... And everybody needs to effing do this.
Okay.
Watch the third trailer, and when they're walking into that building where there's all those flags hanging...
Oh, yeah.
Pause it, and look how many flags are there, and there is a flag in there that is Anakin Skywalker's flag, because they're all the flags from Episode 1, the pod racing flags. And the one in the center is a big fucking Mandalorian skull flag.
Awesome!
Look at it. Just pause it and watch it. It is fucking awesome.
Oh, the Mads Mikkelsen, the bad guy from Casino Royale.
Yes, correct.
Wrath of the Mandalorian, is that a short? It's just video, 2008.
Yeah, it's a short. Oh. That's not the... Oh. But they are doing a movie.
Oh, wow. Okay, now I know.
Felicity Jones.
Oh, Donnie Yen.
Donnie Yen, that's what I said.
Right. No, I know. Now I'm recognizing the photos.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I was just going to... You need a face photo.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Is that what all these are going to be now?
Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
So
and then there's going to be a Han Solo movie and a Boba Fett movie, too.
Now I'm curious about
I don't think we're going to live to see the last Star Wars movie.
No. I saw an article about that, too. There's an article that said we will not be around for the last Star Wars movie, because we've hit a point in movie making history where
nothing is sacred.
Nothing is sacred, but B, single one time event films are no longer a thing. It's all about the serialization and the...
Well, yeah, didn't you see, like...
The money grab.
The Warner Brothers, like, list of movies for the next, like, 20 fucking years, and, like...
Well, till 2020, yeah.
Yeah, and they have all the other, you know, adventure movies, all of
them. Here's the thing. Every single one of those movies is going to get slated off the fucking shelf as soon as Batman v Superman bombs.
Probably.
I'm not saying if.
When. Well, here's my theory is that since Avengers...
Batfleck looks horrible, sir. I don't care what you say.
With the exception of, like, Dark Knight Rises, or the whole Dark Knight everything, which I think reboosted the DC, because DC comic movies...
Haven't done well.
Have not done well versus the Marvel, and not because... And I don't think it's because Disney is backing Marvel. I don't think it's that. I think, with the exception of that shitty fucking Wolverine movie, because that just got stupid.
Were a number of shitty Marvel movies.
There absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But Captain I'm just saying America, they were actually overgeneralizing. Comic book movies were starting to kind of come to
absolutely.
Were starting to come to an end, and then a little film called Iron Man came out. And
oh God, yes.
Changed everything.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then I think Avengers
revitalized everything.
And then when those started taking off, because God knows it wasn't rebuilt off that crappy Tobey Maguire. What was his name?
Like Tobey Maguire.
Those are really good.
Those are really good. Well,
the third one sucks shit.
The second one is still arguably in the top 10 greatest comic book movies of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Spider-Man 2.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Well, okay, now, would you rather watch those or would you rather watch The Amazing Spider-Mans?
Those.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, actually, I agree with him on that because...
Like, the Amazing Spider-Man movies were okay, but they were only okay.
I'm sorry, British Spider-Man is not good Spider-Man.
He was too cool.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
And he's only supposed to be cool when he's Spider-Man. When he's Peter Parker, he's supposed to be an idiot. Yeah. Not an idiot, he's smart.
He's a nebbishy little fucking...
Tobey Maguire! Yeah.
Phlegm-spewing, glasses-pushing little nerd kid.
And...
Well, I know, I just...
And that's who he's supposed to be when he's Peter Parker.
I
just didn't feel
that I felt that the Amazing Spider, the guy that played Amazing Spider-Man, had the build for it better than Tobey Maguire did.
I'll give you that.
He was too skinny.
Really?
Way too skinny. He couldn't even fill out the suit.
But I felt that he
flapping in the wind for crying out loud.
But I felt that he kind of has that.
Spider-Man is definitely scrawny. Is definitely a lighter frame. But he's
sturdy.
He still has tone and he still has muscle. That's why when you see Peter Parker, he's like this little meh. But then when he's Spider-Man, all of a sudden he's got a little bit of.
But that's what I'm saying. I thought that the Amazing Spider-Man had that. More than Tobey fucking Maguire, you know?
No, he was... Look at him. He's super skinny, whereas you see Tobey Maguire look in the mirror at himself the first time after becoming Spider-Man, and he's like, where the fuck did this come from?
P.S. I love those tropes.
By the way, I think when we post these, we definitely have to post links of shit we talk about, so the Star Wars 1313 videos will be...
Yeah.
We'll post this. We're going to have to get back to this goddamn Wrath of the Mandalorian, because this was filmed in 2008, and I'm very curious
about it. It was a fan film.
Where
Darth Vader sends Boba Fett to Kashyyyk,
really
to find a Jedi who's still around.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That is fascinating.
But no,
did you ever watch the Pink Five shorts?
No, but so showing my work on Spider-Man 2 being one of the best because it had all of the lighthearted camp that the comic book movies are starting to lose for gritty realism. But it still had gritty realism in it as well.
Right.
And there were two very wonderful moments in that film. Three very wonderful moments in that film. The first one being when Aunt May clocks Dr. Octopus in the face with her umbrella.
Yeah.
That's gold right there. The second is when Spider-Man is stopping that train.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's just a kid.
He's just a kid. And they all just put his mask back on. They pick him up and
And the third is when he there's the reveal that he's Spider-Man to Mary Jane. And he's just holding the wall and he just goes, hi.
Yeah.
Shitting himself.
This is really heavy.
I'm going to make a hometown plug here. In that scene where he's doing the holding the train back, there's a girl there in the movie in the train that's holding the baby. That's Brianna Brown. I went to high school with her.
Oh, that's actually very cool.
Ended up being in like Desperate Housewives now, and she was her first big role was on... that movie with Harrison Ford and...
7 Days, 7 Nights.
No, Harrison Ford...
Aliens versus Cowboys.
No. He was a detective.
Air Force One.
He was a detective, and what's his name? Patriot. Josh Hartnett was in it, too. And he was Josh Hartnett. She was Josh Hartnett's
girlfriend. One where Harrison Ford's Amish.
No, I just... Never mind. We're done. Okay, back to
the detective.
No, we're done.
True Lies. The Terminator.
So anyways, but she... yeah, she...
Death becomes her.
I went to high school with her.
Death of a Salesman.
I'm just naming random movies. I'm just naming random shit.
Casablanca.
Harrison Ford wasn't even in Casablanca.
He wasn't in any of the last six movies that we went to.
That's like,
no, I know which one.
That's my final answer.
I know which one he's talking about. I just don't know.
Saying that both Josh Hartnett and his girlfriend were from Minnesota?
Yes. Oh, cool. Yes. I think that's why they maybe even paired them up. But
maybe the new
she thing. Got a bunch of little bit parts, and then she was on some other big thing, got a big break and some other stuff, and was on General Hospital, I think was her big break, and then she had some bigger parts, and then she's on Desperate Housewives, and does a lot of independent projects. But anyways, that was high school.
I'm a terrible person, but air quotes, independent projects. There.
They were. They were independent movies and...
Porn.
A porn.
No, no porn. Oh, she was in Homeland.
Oh.
She gets naked in Homeland, actually.
Oh, all right.
Yes. And she actually, oddly enough, was having sex. So I guess it was... But Homeland was not HBO.
I want you to know Showtime. That my emotional state in that entire sentence that you just said...
I heard from, with boobs,
went
sex.
From jubilant to disappointed, back to jubilant when you mentioned that she
Hollywood
got
homicide,
naked.
Hollywood Homicide, by the way.
Thank oh, you, yeah,
Hollywood
right.
Homicide.
Hollywood Homicide.
Thank God for these little handheld devices that
Witness?
We shit up on. I was going to make the joke about when we were like, Harrison Ford wasn't even in that movie. It's like that scene in Neighbors when they're the frat party's having the Robert De Niro party, and they're like... Who are you? He's like, I'm Samuel Jackson. That's not even De Niro. Strike down upon the... De Niro didn't even say that. That's not even... the wrong character. sorry. Shut up. They're looking at me weird like I just, like, slapped them thrice.
And... Well, it's mostly because you referenced a Seth Rogen, Zac Efron movie.
Right?
Well,
I have to say, I didn't hate 17 again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought Zac Efron did an amazing Matthew Perry impression. He actually has some pretty good comedic timing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't like
it's also nice that they're both former addicts, so that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
They got that going for them.
So much in common.
Right. Clearly, they should be going out and being best buds on the town, getting weird and drunk at bars. Wait,
they both talking about all their great times snorting blow off Hooker's ass.
Oh, look, they already compared the pictures for me. That's nice.
Oh, did they? Oh, look at that.
Not very big, though.
For what?
For
the two Spider-Mans.
Tobey Maguire and British Spider-Man. Andrew something.
I'm still gonna go with Andrew Garfield.
That's his name.
I'm still gonna go with the amazing. The cut is a little bit better for me, and that sounds kind of weird and kind of gay, and I'm okay with it.
I just want to point out that we're just staring at pictures of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in skin tight spandex.
But it's Spider-Man. I mean, you can't. What are you gonna do?
Spider-Man or not, they're both sporting some serious moose knuckles.
So
look who's talking, Mister. I wore a goddamn Chewbacca onesie with the biggest moose knuckle ever.
I could not be more bored with this new Spider-Man.
The
15-year-old kid. From the space movie with Harrison
Ford. They have another Spider-Man now? What the fuck?
Yeah, with the space movie with Harrison Ford in it.
Oh, Ender's Game? You're talking about Ender's Game, but...
the movie that was actually War Games, but in a future time, even though that Ender's Game was written in, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
It was they're based on the same fucking thing, just one is takes place in the future and the other one... Come on, Matthew Broderick, War Games?
Aware. Yeah, I remember it. It would just doesn't mean it was a good movie.
Hot chicks making nerdy references like that? Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's why Hackers, which I finally watched, by the way.
Hackers talking about Winter Soldier. She makes that reference.
She does make the reference.
Would you like to play a game? Scarlett Johansson. God.
That's right.
Names.
But anyway, the whole thing with the superhero movies is that with practically every movie, getting back to the fact that we're not going to see the final Star Wars movie in our time.
That was like 20 minutes ago. You've
got to get back to it at some point.
We're getting there, though. I don't care. But the fact that we're not going to see the final Star Wars, because movies are all about serialization now.
Well, absolutely.
And it was not... it might have been 20 minutes ago, but it was quite a while ago. But yeah, no, it's all about serialization now and always chasing the next paycheck and chasing the next big blockbuster.
I felt that happened right around the Pirates of the Caribbean time is when the threesome of movies had to come out.
That you had to start doing trilogies?
Yes, like that I felt it was around that time, so it was like Pirates of the Caribbean, and then all of a sudden it was Pirates of the Caribbean 2, and then...
No, I think the mid to late double aughts
and not just
were about trilogies.
But on the upside of this is that they've been doing any movie that makes money, they'll try and make a sequel and then subsequential threequel that will always be shit.
But
what is nice about what's become of this serialization is that the sequels are good now.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say,
they're good now. Before any sequel, you're like, oh, God. But now you're like, fuck yeah.
I'll give a perfect example for that. I did not like Captain America, the First Avenger. I didn't think it was a very good movie.
It was okay. It was okay. But Winter Soldier.
Holy fucking shit.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. I can agree wholeheartedly. But that's what I'm saying is like, do you think that like a lot of these trilogy movies or sequential movies, like you see the first Terminator, you're like, oh, that's all right. But then you see Terminator 2 and you're like, oh, fuck yeah.
But Terminator 2 was the exception that proved the rule.
Well, exactly. Absolutely.
It was so good. But you take any other.
But that's what I'm saying.
I still haven't seen Terminator 2 or Terminator. The original.
Okay.
Sorry. I've seen T2 Judgment Day. That was awesome.
Yeah, you're not missing much. It's a lot of backstory.
You're right.
Watch any other movie after Terminator 2 when they talk about the backstory and you'll fucking see the first Terminator. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
All you get to see, well, it's pretty much just another Michael Biehn movie where he's being
Michael
badass.
Bay movie?
No, Biehn, the guy that plays.
Oh, okay.
He's in like every like late 80s, early 90s action movie. Him and why can't I think of his name?
Plays Harrison Ford?
Witness. There is not one, but there are two black females in the new Star Wars movie with names.
Yeah, well, one of them's a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them's a pirate, and
she's the big pirate lady.
Nikita Luongo.
Lupita Nyong'o. I don't know what Maisie Richardson Sellers, and she's playing a character named Corsella.
Now, what's her name? Her name is so difficult for me. I know it, but I cannot pronounce it.
Are you talking about the Pirate Queen?
Yeah, the Pirate Queen. Lupita Nyong'o or whatever?
Yeah.
Close enough. Why not? Now, her scene's going to be all in motion capture, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they were showing every time they show her, she's in...
Yeah,
I'm okay with that, because, like, a couple of the characters from, like, even the prequels that were motion capture are, like, basically, because Andy Serkis's character,
he's Commander Snoke.
Yeah.
Who they seem to think is going to be an alien, which I find really fascinating.
Because he did motion capture as well.
That's really disappointing.
I'm not 100% positive
about
that.
Here's the thing. Maybe I loved Andy Serkis and his bit role in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, fuck yeah. That was absolutely awesome.
He was great. And you know why? Because he wasn't in some fucking mocap thing. I went, hey, it's Andy Serkis! Yes!
Right, and he's...
And he's going to be a villain in Black Panther.
Right, and he was... he's been in a couple other movies that he just played himself, and I thought he was really good.
I think he's a stellar actor, regardless of mocap or not.
Another thing is, but I firmly like him being Gollum, because you see a lot of him in Gollum. Like, you don't... I don't think Gollum would have been Gollum without him.
That's generally true, though. I mean...
I know, I'm just...
I think that's true for a lot of characters. Darth Vader wouldn't have been Darth Vader without James Earl Jones' sweet, silky tones emanating from that samurai face.
I think they should have got Burt Reynolds to voice Darth Vader.
God damn it.
Hey, fuck there.
Hey.
James Mason. Luke, I am your father. Now, what do you say we go back and enjoy some cricket?
Oh, God. Sean Connery is Darth Vader.
Luke, I'm your father.
Luke,
the force is stronger than you.
If it was older Sean Connery, I'm all for it. But younger Sean Connery, like James Bond Sean Connery, no way.
No. Although Orson Welles. I would have been okay with that.
Do you know what Orson Welles' last movie was?
Yeah, a Muppet movie.
No.
What was it?
Transformers.
Awesome, even better.
The original Transformers
cartoon movie
was Orson Welles' very last movie. Kind of like Raw Julia's last movie was
Street Fighter.
poor man.
No. You can't compare those things because Raul Julia was in an awful film for his last film. Orson Welles was in Transformers the movie.
The cartoon, the 1980s cartoon.
Which was good.
I know it was.
Okay, I'm now saying, I'm confused. Are you suggesting that... But the way you said it was like comparing Orson Welles and Raul Julia's last movies to each other, but you can't because Street Fighter was fucking
that
shit.
That was not the intention I meant.
I'm not going to lie. Okay. I kind of want to go back and watch it. Just
Street Fighter? Street Fighter?
Yeah, just...
It's not horseshit.
Oh, I know it was. I've obviously seen it a few times. But I just want to see how horribly it's held up.
Oh, my God.
Like,
not even good.
Because I watched the two... The first one still kind of holds up.
Yeah,
like,
first one does.
I still get a lot of enjoyment out of it. The second one... Oof.
Yeah,
just
horrible.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
Like, the CGI backgrounds where you can see the little...
Oh, yeah.
The outlines, basically.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. I'm just watching this going, oh, this is...
This is too bad.
Direction.
Actually not turned on.
Right?
Ugh, horrible.
The other thing about that movie was that they killed off the best character in the first 5 minutes.
Which one? The first
Mortal Cage?
Mortal Kombat, they kill off Johnny Cage in the first 5 minutes.
Did they?
Yeah.
He was one of the best reasons to watch the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, yeah.
He had all the best lines.
He did.
Those are $500 sunglasses, asshole.
It wasn't the first 5 minutes they killed him off, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
First five minutes of
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Shao Kahn.
Oh, and
he goes in for his little speed kick on Shao Kahn. Shao Kahn grabs him, puts him in a headlock. He's like, "You're weak," and then he
right. Okay,
snaps his neck. Game over.
They killed. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you said they killed him off in the first one in the first 5 minutes.
No.
Second one.
Yes.
Now second one, he's dead in the first 5 minutes. And right then, I'm like, no, I'm out.
But the only...
Yeah. 10-year-old Rob, even then, was like, no, out.
I don't know how I felt about Christopher Lambert being Raiden, though. I was kind of like,
He was fucking amazing.
he was great.
I don't care how whitewashed the character ended up being. He was amazing as well.
But he just wasn't, like, I loved his campiness and I loved the lines.
The guy who plays a general in every fucking movie and TV show he's in as Raiden in the second one where he cuts his hair and he's all like, eh.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I'm talking about
the... You mean the rapist in Warriors?
Yes! Thank you!
You're
I was Raiden in the second movie.
Yeah.
But Christopher Lambert, who was Raiden in the first movie, was
the
amazing.
Rapey guy in the Warriors is Raiden in the second Mortal Kombat.
I gotta look it up.
Yeah, the Warriors, he's the super mouthy one whose name I cannot think of. And I can't even think of the actor's name.
I can't either.
Although I like the actor in almost everything else.
Like, because he's...
Aside from Mortal Kombat.
He's that guy. One of those that
guys. Oh, that guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's one of those actors. Sucks fucking ass. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. There's a movie on Netflix, a documentary about... It's just called That One Guy, and it's about all those actors, much like this guy, where you're like, that one guy! And it's an interview with all these actors who you recognize every single one of them. And they just talk about
that guy who's in that thing is the name of the movie. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I'm like, that's kind of okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So
if you have an opportunity to look it up. Yeah, but this
I would,
guy,
yeah.
This
also,
sucked
look
ass.
Up, also, as far as Netflix recommendations, go watch I Know That Voice.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is all about voice actors.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really fun. And it's produced and pretty much directed by the voice of Bender, John DiMaggio.
So before we wrap this bitch up.
Right.
I do have one thing I want to talk about, the Power Rangers movie.
Oh my God, which one?
The new one that's coming out.
Yeah.
The reboot movie, where they finally list the entire cast.
Did they?
Yes. It's the same kind of racial setup, but they've mixed it up. And,
oh, okay.
And it's Jason Trini, who's now Latina. Jason is still white.
Neat.
Kimberly is still white.
Neat.
Zach is Asian, and Billy is black.
Power Rangers the one.
So they've changed up the combination so that the Asian is not yellow.
Wait,
and the black
about,
is not black.
Are we talking about Power Rangers Dino Charge?
No, it's just called Power Rangers
2017.
That's the one.
Coming out in 2017.
So the cast has been finally... It's a bunch of nobodies, which is good. I like that.
I'm looking for the cast list at this point.
It's on IBDM.
But Saban tweeted,
IMDb, sorry.
Meet your new... Jason, Kimberly, Trini, Billy, and Zach.
Mm.
And so it's still the same two white guys, but now they've changed the third white person to a Latina. So
okay.
two white people, a Latina, a black, and an Asian, but it's a different kind of combination. But they all have the classic names.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Interesting. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Naomi cast.
In the Martian.
Naomi Scott, Becky G, who's there. Yeah, all right.
Just Becky G.
Becky
Just
G. Becky G. That's all it list says, yeah.
Like I said, bunch of nobodies, but I find that very exciting.
Okay.
Hmm. The fact that they've thrown off the weird racial color coding.
Right. And another hometown story about that, and one of the many different Power Rangers of the late 90s, early 2000s, there was another guy that I went to high school with. His name was Reggie Royal. He was one of the Power Rangers. He was the black guy in one of the Power Rangers movies.
Was he the Black Ranger?
Probably. I don't know. I didn't watch it. It was one of the...
Yeah, Billy's black now. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Trini is now Latina, so I'm wondering what his full name is.
Trini Kwan.
She must be Filipino or something.
I'm assuming, yeah.
So were we done with the... to Tarantino this... were we done with the predictions of Star Wars?
Did we have another one?
I don't know if there is another one.
I don't know.
Although I am curious as to what you guys think about 3PO's red arm.
Always had different multicolored parts. Yeah, they've been jacking
him. Like, because in the original trilogy, he started out as like an endoskeleton. in the new trilogy, he started out as an endoskeleton. I wish I had a picture of
Kevin doing his dance right now.
He started out as an endoskeleton, then he got the gold body, and then in the original trilogy, so the next set of films,
he got the
silver leg.
Well, he had the metal body first before he got the gold body.
That's what I was talking about, the endoskeleton.
Well, there was that, the dark...
In episode one, he was in the endoskeleton, the primer suit, and then in episode two and three, he had the primer. Or in three, did he get the gold?
He was gold in three.
Okay.
It was skeleton, primer, gold.
Okay.
Then gold with a silver leg for some unknown reason. Now I don't think they're even going to address it. I hope they don't.
They don't.
He
just had to repair something, and that's all he could
do. I really hope they don't address it.
Okay.
I hope they just go, oh, you have a red arm now. Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah. Pretty much because I don't think he could find gold parts anymore. He's not... I think he got the gold because when he was like with Amidala, he had to be fancy looking, and then even with maybe even Bail and Tilly's, he was had to be a, more of a protocol. I'm a interpreter. I got to look good type, you know, robot right. look to him. And now they just don't give a shit because he's not in that role anymore.
Sure, but on the other hand, I just want it. I now after your story about Anthony Daniels, I just want there to be a scene where somebody tries to come up and ask C-3PO about his arm, but they touch it. And then 3PO goes off.
Queens out?
Yeah, just queens out, yeah. That's what I want now.
C-3PO and queens out. I don't think
I mean, that's going to be a stretch, because he's already queened it to the max.
But I was just thinking about all of the Star Wars movies in general. Other than C-3PO, or other than R2-D2, nobody's ever touched C-3PO in any movie. They've never physically touched him.
Looked it.
When? Yeah.
Sure Luke did.
I mean, and I'm not talking about the...
Chewie does.
Chewie, oh, well, yeah, because he throws him on his back.
It shows him, like, messing with his head.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, and I suppose Luke... No, he took the restraining bolt off of R2-D2.
R2-D2 never shows... at some point he takes it off, because it's gone later, but
right.
It never...
Well, then I suppose they pick him up, I guess, in the sand, but... I mean, like, when he's just physically... Other than to, like, help him up, like, when he's standing there, nobody's ever like, hi, C-3PO.
No, yeah, you're right. But nobody's creepily molesting C-3PO like this.
Because I don't think anybody creepily molests anything in movies.
Not true, but that's mostly because we find out later that Luke and Leia are related.
Maybe Ewok touches him and, like, humps his leg.
Yeah, that was weird.
Some furry's always touching this man.
Story of my life.
Well, there's the fat guy in the Rancor.
that was...
That poor bastard. you can't help but feel a little bad for him. Right? What was his thing?
But how did that little dude control such a big monster? Unless he was like
with his
he
penis.
Raised him from like birth. Maybe, but...
with his penis. I mean, he was halfway into S&M gear as it was.
True.
It was Jabba's palace. All of them were halfway into S&M gear, with the exception of Boba Fett.
Who was all the way there?
And Lando was there, so we got to know the party was started somehow. Just saying.
Colt 45!
Because I'm a guy bringing Colt 45, motherfucker. I brought it.
My name is Billy D. Williams. I want to give you a Colt 45. Oh, my God. I love those commercials, by the way. If you need to go back and watch them.
I love that he was Harvey Dent.
Yes.
That's true. He was. The original. In Tim Burton's
Batman movie.
Although.
I rewatched it. It doesn't hold. It's awful. It's awful.
I agree.
It's awful.
No, you're right. It doesn't hold up. That doesn't mean it wasn't good.
I think it was good in a because
it was good for a 10-year-old. But no, I'm like, this is awful.
All the prints. Oh,
so much prints.
Oh, there's prints everywhere.
Yeah,
Kim Basinger sucks so much.
Here's what I think it was good for a 1990s. 1990s, you know,
superhero
film. I think it holds up, and I'm not saying like,
I don't think it does because a couple years later he did Batman Returns,
and
so much better.
Right, because now maybe he had the backing for it, the money for it. But what I really like, and it's not just because it's Tim Burton. What I also thought and I liked about
Hang on.
Let me finish my thought.
All right, go ahead.
It was dark. It was dark like Batman's supposed to be.
But it was this weird, dark, whimsical.
It's fucking Tim Burton.
Exactly.
And the second one was weird and whimsical and dark, too.
Who had never read a Batman comic.
Well, of course you didn't.
And I'm going to Kevin Smith this shit and it showed.
Oh, God, yeah. Kevin Smith talks very much about that. There's something in common he makes about him and Tim Burton. They don't get along or something. That doesn't surprise me.
Fucking hate each other.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Because I think Kevin Smith publicly said something negative about him about that Batman.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was the Superman Lives.
Oh yeah.
Movie.
That fucking travesty.
I don't care. I still like looking at the costume
the suit.
The screen tests of Nick Cage in the Superman suit.
God, Nick Cage would have been a horrible fucking Superman.
Oh, it would have been amazing!
I'm sorry, Nick Cage has not made a good movie in a long time. Well, with the exception of Superbad, I loved him in Superbad.
He wasn't in Superbad.
Or not Superbad, fucking Kick-Ass. Why did I say Superbad?
Oh, yeah.
Why did I say Superbad?
Because you were thinking of another movie with, can't even think of it.
Michael Cera? No one in Superbad was in Kick-Ass, actually.
No, but the guy that played Kick-Ass, you could tell was like, they wanted Michael Cera, but they didn't get him.
Oh, no, wait. Yes, never mind. The guy from Chris Mintz Plasse was in.
Yes.
Was in Superbad and Kick-Ass. Yes, he was the villain in.
I love Nick Cage. Superbad. I love Nick Cage in Kick-Ass.
I gotta admit, I like The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Get out.
Out.
I liked it.
Get out.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Get out.
No.
What is it in Kick-Ass that? Oh yeah, in the movie Kick-Ass, that both Quicksilvers are in Kick-Ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as best friends.
As best friends.
Yeah,
that's kind of
funny. I gotta admit, I like the X-Men one better.
Really?
Yeah.
The X-Men, Quicksilver
better.
I like them both for different.
You know, if you're gonna qualities. If you make a scene that's almost entirely CG, it's very hard to do it and make it good. And the time in a bottle scene,
yeah,
where he's messing with all the dudes
before
they start shooting, was fucking brilliant.
Oh, I know, absolutely
masterpiece.
And then they show it at the end, like the how fast it really went in real time. Yeah,
yeah, and that's beautiful. But here's the thing: that's really good. But that was more of an accomplishment by the CGI artists, not the actor.
Oh, absolutely. But I just mean that. But that is what made me like that Quicksilver.
I think overall that Quicksilver is better. I think giving the character life through acting, I think Aaron Taylor Johnson or Kick-Ass or whatever the fuck his name is, he did the better job in Avengers. I liked his character more.
I think I'm just mad because he got killed.
Spoilers.
We're going to spoil that one.
Yeah,
people haven't seen the Age of Ultron movie.
It came out
6 months ago?
Yeah.
So 6 months ago. I don't care. I still want to say spoilers.
Spoiler alert. If you're listening to a nerd podcast,
I'm gonna go ahead and guess you've seen.
Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, guys! Darth Vader is Luke's father. Asshole.
Also, Clark Kent is Superman.
That movie was
the Titanic sinks.
What? It sinks at the end of the fucking movie.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Oh, motherfucker! Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Motherfucker. Quicksilver, what were we talking about? He dies, and then I was going to make a point. I fucking lost it. Way to go.
Lakers 88, Heat 89. Don't ever mess with that joke. You're welcome.
That was fucking great. Wait, what nerd movie hadn't you watched that we all seen? Were we just talking about that earlier tonight?
We were?
You never saw something that we...
I'm going to go ahead and say that that's not true, and I never said that.
No, you said you finally saw it.
I just recently saw a movie.
What was it, though?
Oh, I remember what I was going to say now, but keep going. While you think about that, I was watching that really shitty Superman Returns movie the other day, and don't ask why I was watching it. Maybe there's nothing better on TV, and yes, that's saying a lot. Because Parker Posey, pretty much. And I love Kevin Spacey, but fuck, he sucks in that movie.
No, that's the thing. He didn't suck in that movie. Yes, everyone else did.
No, he did that wrong. Are you kidding me? Oh, come on.
He kind of sucked in that movie.
He kind of sucked. For Kevin Spacey?
Blasphemy. Well, okay, all right. For Kevin Spacey, he sucked. But even Kevin Spacey sucking is still miles ahead of everyone else in that movie.
Well, absolutely.
I think the only...
Parker Posey was believable.
The only people who gave a shit were Parker Posey and James Marsden.
Right. I'd agree.
Well, James Marsden, mostly because he can't get work outside of wearing red glasses.
That's not true.
How is that not true?
He's been in a couple of pretty good things. And some
name one. Things.
Well, this is going to sound really stupid, but did you ever see Sex Drive?
No.
The movie itself was eh, but he was goddamn phenomenal in it.
Okay.
The movie's pretty good. I suggest seeing it. It's got some tits if you just want a movie that has tits in it.
Yeah, I can go on the internet for porn for that, so...
But no, it has James Marsden as the main character's like overbearing older brother, and basically it has very much the road trip vibe to it, where friends go somewhere for whatever reason and shenanigans ensue.
Yeah, that absolutely does not sell me on whether or not James Marsden did a good movie.
James Marsden was fantastic in it, and Seth Green as a very sassy Amish man.
Neat. All right, give me another example because I'm not going to take that one.
You're not
going to. Okay, well, no, I'm going to go back to my Superman thing.
All right,
what blows my mind on that entire fucking movie is that as soon as Clark, like, Superman's gone, right? And Clark Kent disappeared at the exact same time. And everyone's like, well, that's kind of weird. And then Clark Kent comes back, and he's only there for a little bit, and then all of a sudden Superman returns, and nobody makes the fucking connection. Really? Nobody?
Yeah.
Nobody in that world can go, that's like the damnedest thing. Like, if Superman had disappeared... And, like, Clark stayed around for the next couple of years, and then maybe he went away. I'd get that.
Right.
But then, no, they disappear at the exact same time, and they return at about the exact same time, and nobody in that fucking universe sees it.
Well, that's why I'm glad that, you know, he...
That's one of the main reasons I dislike Superman as a character.
Well, I think, for me, he was my first, as a kid, was my first superhero that I really, like... Like, oh, I love superheroes. I love Superman.
And mine was Spider-Man, so...
But no, that's what I liked about, you know, the new Superman of Steel, is that, you know, obviously Lois Lane already knew it was him.
Right.
And I like the fact that she was like, okay, Clark Kent, welcome to the planet. She didn't say the Daily Planet, she said the planet, and she was being cute about it. And I liked that. But it kind of amused me that, you know, she gets it. She would have recognized him no matter what. Because she's not an idiot.
But everyone else in that world is, somehow.
Yes, and that...
But even in that movie, she didn't fucking...
Because it's... It has nothing to do with how he looks. It has everything to do with how Clark Kent is supposed to hold himself as a person. Where you wouldn't ever think that it's him. And that's what I've always liked about it. I like Superman. I do. I don't like him better than Batman, obviously. Batman is my homegirl, but...
right.
But no, James Marsden.
James Marsden.
So he's been in. I'm not saying that these are good movies, but he's been in two of those Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah, that's definitely not making any point.
But they're very successful.
They are very successful. They're trite. But they're successful.
Notebook. He was in two of them. Mm-hmm. Very successful movies. So obviously he is getting work. He was in Hairspray. He as the character who I've been dying to play. Stage version of that show.
I was going to say, the only...
I want to be Corny Collins so bad.
I was going to say, the only pass I was going to give you was Hairspray, because I really like that one.
Yeah. All right, now we're all theater people here. Dream part. What's your dream part? If you could play any part in the world.
Right, okay, so...
Even if it's not written for you, even if you couldn't fucking play the part.
That's exactly where I was going to go with this. All right, so have either of you heard about the new one, Hamilton? At all?
No.
Okay, it's on Broadway right now. It's The Life and Times of Alexander Hamilton.
Oh,
musical form as a hip-hop musical.
Fuck you.
I will give you this.
Hamilton, the president?
Alexander Hamilton, the first Treasury Secretary. He was never president.
Oh, right.
And he was shot by Aaron Burr.
Yeah, the one guy
Aaron Burr.
Yeah. By the way, they did
Hamilton, the one guy that's on a dollar bill that won.
Hi, millennials. You won't know what we're talking about with that reference.
Oh, the first Got Milk commercial.
Yep, that was the first one. So, and they parody that in some of their YouTube promotional stuff for the
awesome.
Musical.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're sold, right?
Totally.
So it was. So it's written, and the music and lyrics and book are written by the guy who did the show In the Heights. I don't know if you've heard of that one at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay. It was out on Broadway a few years back, and it got Best Musical for a year. But no, this one's huge because it's a story about... It's the life and times of Alexander Hamilton, staged with a completely Latino and African American cast, as all of these historical figures. George Washington is this beautiful, bald, 6 foot something black man.
I love it.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Keep going. Keep going.
Right. So black and Latino actors playing, founding fathers and dead white guys.
It's almost like they said, GOP, we dare you, and just whipped out their dicks at them.
Hip-hop, R&B, and pop music as the score.
Huh.
And it's... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the only white guy in the show, King George.
I love it.
Nice.
Who sings British invasion pop.
Nice. Huh.
It's kind of awesome. So the character in that show, Aaron Burr in the show Hamilton.
You want to be Aaron Burr.
I would love to do that role. It's similar to Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar.
All right.
It's like there are a lot of parallels between JCS and Hamilton in that they're both sort of that Judas.
Are they doing it as hippies or are they doing it in the post-apocalyptic time?
No.
Hate when they do that with Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right. No, Hamilton's done in the original time, but blind cast.
Hmm.
Which was the most brilliant casting choice I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Because Jefferson is the world's funkiest Secretary of State.
Hmm.
He looks like Morris Day out of Purple Rain.
Morris Day in the motherfucking time.
Yeah. No, he looks like Morris Day out of Purple Rain.
I love it.
It's brilliant.
Love it. You're all going to laugh at my part. Mercutio from Romeo and Juliet. I would love to play that part. Oh, my God.
That'd be very cool.
And I want to, like, I'm not a huge fan of Romeo and Juliet or Shakespeare. There's only, like, two that I really like, Midsummer Night's Dream. And Romeo and Juliet are probably my two.
I was over on Midsummer's Night Dream, but I still kind of hate it.
Like I said, they're ones that I can bear. Like I've done
like Merchant of Venice. I gotta. Yeah.
No, anyways, that's fair.
But when Baz Luhrmann, revitalized Romeo and Juliet for the big screen
and put Leguizamo in the role of Mercutio.
No, he was Tybalt.
Sorry,
he was brilliant in that.
Yeah,
the black guy.
Yes,
the drag queen one.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
God killed that part, and that's
the best part in the movie.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what I'm like. I want that part. I want to play it. Not just like that, but I want to play it similar to the way he played. It's just fantastic.
He stole the entire movie.
I thought. And a lot of people hate that version of Romeo and Juliet. I love it. I thought it was brilliantly
done. No. I think that's actually a great version of the movie. Oh. And it actually made me like Romeo and Juliet. Before that, hated it.
Hated it.
Hated it.
But he snapped the Z formation. Once again, millennials will never fucking understand.
No, not a chance.
Not even a little.
So,
kind of world. All right.
So just the one dream parts?
I've got a couple. I've got musical. I've got play, and then I've got film adaptation.
I think for musical, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I would love to play like Judas, but I obviously couldn't. But no, I think actually for musical,
I disagree though.
I would like to.
Here's
play...
the thing, Tim. Do you know who Tim Minchin is?
Yeah, no.
Okay, Tim Minchin's like an Australian comedian musician, musical comedian who does a bunch of goofy songs, including a song called "Fuck the Pope." It's great. Yeah. But he also he did a version of Jesus Christ Superstar, and he played Judas, and he was great in it. Supposedly. So
actually, maybe
it's not a skin color issue. Really,
it's not a skin color. I didn't think it was a skin color. I was just saying more like my vocal range is not.
Okay, that makes
and,
sense.
And I'm a fatty, so I'd like to play Herod. Actually, that's always a part.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I was in Jesus Christ Superstar in high school. We did it, and we had a phenomenal cast. And the guy that played Judas actually went on to be on the Broadway. Anyways, a lot of them actually did. But anyways, musical, I think either one of the male leads in Rent. I think I would
Mark
leads.
Or...
Yeah.
I hate Rent.
Roger?
Really? Roger. Probably it. More Roger than
it's,
Mark.
Yeah. Here's my thing on Rent. It's either you loved the musical or you hated it. Nobody's in between. But there's a single exception to the rule, and that's me. I'm actually neutral about it.
I think it's because when I saw it with the original cast, with the exception of...
You saw it on Broadway?
I saw it on Broadway with the original cast, met them afterwards. I have a great picture of Idina Menzel, like, looking over her shoulder, like, in the middle of a crowd, like, we were getting autographs. It's black and white. It's beautiful. I actually want to blow it up and send it to her and be like, hey, can you sign this and that? Mm-hmm. Anyways, but the only one that wasn't there was... I can't think of the guy that moves away. That's Tay Diggs' character.
Okay,
he wasn't in it. He wasn't there.
Benny.
Thank you. But I think when I saw it, it was just starting to reach its peak before it got really, really big. And I think for me, it was like one of those like this is really good. And I saw it, and I was like emotionally attached to it right away. And I knew nothing about it. I think since it drew me in so much.
See, the last time I was here, when Rap and Pascal had rejoined it again, they had come back to it, and this was after the movie. They came back to it and came here.
Yeah.
I got to see it.
Yeah.
And this was at a point where I didn't like it, and I came out going, I still didn't like it. I told people that I got to see it with, you know, the two main original actors, and I'm like, yeah, it was meh. They're like, I hate you. I hate you so, and I was close, too.
I think it's just the experience of seeing it the way that I saw it. I think the fact that it drew me in so much the first time I see a show. And if a show can draw me in that much and the first time I see it, I'm going to like it, you know?
Yeah. But as far as musical, for me, it's Burr. For play, I would love to do Willie Loman.
Hmm.
I find Death of a Salesman to be an amazing show.
Oh, absolutely. I like it a lot.
And I'm clearly not old enough yet to do Willie Loman, but someday. I'm super excited about that. And then film adaptation.
Ooh, film adaptation.
Of anything. Book. Da-da-da-da-da, whatever. I would like them to retry with the Aragorn books, and I'll be the sidekick. Whose name I can't remember.
It was awful.
Oh, it was awful.
So bad.
Poor shit.
Even John Malkovich fucking phoned it in on that one. Oh my god.
So bad.
John Malkovich.
He's so bad.
Totally phoned it in. I was like, oh my god, John, really? Come on.
But yeah, Corny Collins, Hairspray.
Yeah.
Also, I would love to be Sweeney Todd.
Right.
And I've had so many people I've had people go, I don't think you're right for Sweeney Todd. I'm like, sweetheart, I'm perfect for Sweeney Todd. Johnny Depp wasn't right for Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
I would love to be Gary in Noises Off.
Oh, there you go.
John Ritter's character in the movie.
What is it?
Gary in the Noises Off.
Noises Off, he's like the main...
He's like I would love to play...
Have you never seen Noises Off?
I don't know what this is.
What? You would love
what?
It.
What? Really?
You would love it.
Even go watch the movie version.
Go watch the movie.
What is it?
It's with got Christopher Noises Reeves off. And John Ritter and this...
Noises Off.
Blonde who wears underwear throughout the entire
movie. It's a show in a show.
Michael Caine plays the director.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and I would love to play Michael Caine's character. Right?
Can we make this happen?
No, we still need to play the princes in fucking End of the Woods.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We're totally both perfect for that role. Just explain the show for people that don't know, and for Rob.
Noises Off?
It's a show within a show. So the first half is like, it's a show that this guy's producing, and there's a whole bunch of problems with the intramural problems with the cast, and they're having each other's throats, and one guy's a drunk, and... So there's just this train wreck of a show that just keeps getting worse and worse, and you watch it from the front.
So you watch two halves of it. The first half, you're watching from the front during rehearsal.
Okay.
And the director is in the audience yelling at them.
Okay.
And the second half is the flip side. It's the behind-the-scenes stuff where everything, and like just one night of an actual performance.
Right.
Where they've been doing it for a while, but now like drama is setting in, people are sleeping with people. And
Right.
And just... like there's this this emergency axe that keeps getting brilliantly flipped between characters as they're about to hit each other with it. So they'll reach down and grab it. And
yeah, Carol Burnett's in it in the movie version.
Oh god! Oh, she's so good at it. But
right.
It is the true, like when you say what is the definition of a farce? noises off.
Yeah, and as a set designer, that was a show that I wanted to do forever. And the shitty thing is that when I left being a tech director at Apple Valley, they did noises off the next season. I'm like, you motherfuckers! I'm like, you motherfuckers!
Right.
I didn't actually say motherfuckers, but I was a little upset. You should've. I'm like, I'm like, you guys did this the
wrong
time.
Yeah, this sounds like a great show.
It is.
This sounds like a show that it would be a lot of fun.
It's fucking hilarious.
You would really enjoy it.
You will laugh your tits off. It is so funny. And
now, here's the thing. Would I love it because I'm a theater person, or love it in spite of being a theater person?
Both. Because you know you've been in shows and you've experienced the same shit.
Same shit, yeah.
And like there's like miscues, and like you gotta be like, oh shit, there's a miscue, now what do I do? And like that's in there, and misplaced props.
Goddamn sardines.
Goddamn sardines.
It'll make sense what you want to do. It's a movie, if you're a theater person, you're gonna love because you're a theater person and in spite of being
It's kind of like watching Slings and Arrows. If you're a theater person, watch the TV show Slings and Arrows.
Okay. Another thing I haven't seen.
It was on the BBC? I don't remember what it was. It was a series. It's about theater. It's about theater. And like every episode is a different. It's actually a different Shakespeare play.
Oh, okay.
Episode is. And it has a great cast. I think Anne Hathaway's in the first couple episodes.
Oh,
and
nice.
Her character gets replaced because she went off to be, you know, do movies and stuff.
Right.
But it's good. It's hilarious. And as a theater person, you will definitely enjoy it because you'll get it.
Yeah.
Another part that I always wanted to play, and I'm not going to lie, I'd love to play Max Bialystock in The Producers.
Right.
Totally.
Oh, you can pull that off, yeah.
I know. I can actually almost sing it, too.
Oh my God, can we please be Max and Leo? How are we not?
Fair enough. Wait, does that mean I get to be the German?
Yes.
Yes! Duh, and or hello.
And I'm so glad that they made the movie version with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, because if there was a Broadway show that I would want to see with a cast, because they made, I mean, they fucking were on Broadway for so long with that show.
Yeah.
And kind of like when I was in New York a couple years ago, I wanted to see Waiting for Godot with Patrick Stewart
and Ian McKellen.
Oh. The tickets were so expensive, though, but I'm like, oh my God, it's not one of my favorite shows, but I'd fucking see it for the
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, because it's fucking McKellen and Stewart.
Ugh, yeah.
Both huge geek icons.
Right,
both
right.
Incredible actors.
Not people like love that
and
show.
And love that after X-Men, they became best friends forever.
Right?
You guys are my best friend.
Second time I sang that song tonight.
It's not okay.
That's not okay.
I think to bring everything to a close, I want to have sex with Daisy Ridley really badly.
God damn it.
See, I brought it back to Hot Chicks and Star Wars.
Wait, what movie is she in?
Star Wars.
Who else is in that?
As Rey.
Who else is in that?
People.
Witness?
God damn it.
I was trying to get you to say Harrison Ford so I could be like, oh, Witness? Air Force One?
Well, I think on that note, I think we're talked out. Yeah, we're talked out for this episode. We've gone way overboard, but whatever. It was fun.
Witness?
This is going to make some editing. Like,
what?
3 hours.
An hour and a half. That's probably going to get edited down. But anyway, edit this part out. All right, we will see you next time. Same pod channel, same pod time, whatever time that is.
Here, have a couple tacos.
Ooh, tacos.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.